CliffCentral.com. Alright, he says, happy Friday. It is the 21st of September, and into the sport.
Oh?
No.
Oh, that was quick.
Yeah, you know my issues with iTunes. Anyway, hello, happy Friday. My name is Ben Karpinski. CS Langorian is with me,
and is it?
Gareth Cliff is in Cape Town today. Be with us in just a jiffy.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that phrase come from, CS? Just a jiffy?
Ben... I am not a great historian or English professor, so I have no cooking clue.
Back in just a jiffy.
But I heard jiffy is actually a technical term.
It's for actually, time. Yeah, it's wow, look at that. You actually did know that. Jiffy is an informal term for an unspecified short period of time, as in I'll be back in a jiffy.
See? And then I'm ready to play like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire at this point.
Yeah. So we've got a nice Friday show today. We've got... what is Gareth doing in Cape Town again so that we know that we listen?
He has meetings and he was speaking at a...
He's speaking at a thing. Okay, because Gareth does... He speaks at the things. But while we get him on the line, I just wanted to get this in before Gareth takes conversation. So, you know, this whole Colin Kaepernick Nike thing, it's been a big story and then probably spawned the greatest memes of the year, you know, like sacrifice everything for what you believe in, all that kind of stuff. And since then, everything has come out. Every topic has come out from priests and children to Crooked Hillary to contemporary sporting events. So Jim Jeffries has his own talk show. Didn't know that. Comedy Central gave it to him a while ago. And he goes into this whole moral stand that Nike seemed to have taken. Now, if you followed my blog, The Bounce at CLZA over the years, you'd know that I've got quite a cynical take on Nike and their moral views. I think Nike are the absolute masters in turning a story their own way. Recently, they had that Casa Semenya advert, which again, it's all like, you know, it's so morally strong and it's so good. And like, we're fans of Casa on the show. We support her. But Nike always has an ulterior motive. They will never do anything unless it means profit. So I'm going to play this clip by Jim Jeffries before we get to Gareth, because I find that he hits the nail on the head. And Jim Jeffries just being Jim Jeffries, it's pretty good. Oh, man, go away, music. Go, stop. Yes, okay, Jim Jeffries,
we're back! And not a moment too soon. Last week, Nike unveiled a new ad celebrating the 30th anniversary of their Just Do It campaign, starring today's most controversial athlete.
Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. Don't ask if your dreams are crazy. Ask if they're crazy enough.
It's amazing that they're using a spokesperson who isn't even playing his sport. I imagine if Nike does bring out a shoe for Colin Kaepernick, it has to be a slip-on shoe with no laces, because that's got to be hard for Colin every time he bends down to do his shoelaces and people get their cameras out like, oh, there's a new movement. And he's like, no, I'm not protesting this Starbucks. I just had to do my shoes up. But seriously, do stop shooting black people. Not counting a few random morons burning their shoes, the campaign has been a huge success. Since Kaepernick became the new face of Nike, sales have increased 31%. So thank you, Nike, for standing up for kneeling. Even though most of your political donations are to Republicans, and you just signed an 8-year deal with the same league that refuses to let Kaepernick play. In fact, Nike is kneeling so much for the NFL that they're changing their slogan to Just Do It, but make it quick and don't get it in my hair. What did I say? But people are smart. Who could ever be duped into supporting a conservative company that also happens to have a well-known history of labour abuses?
some freedom-friendly Nikes.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. As a salute to Colin Kaepernick, to Nike, congratulations on your fantastic choice. Thank you so much.
All these years later and Jim Carrey is still talking out of his ass. Nike is a corporation and corporations don't have progressive values. They have shareholders. Nike didn't hire Kaepernick because they care about social justice. They hired him because you care.
Corporations have interests. And if they thought that they would lose money, if they thought that they would minimize shareholder wealth rather than maximizing it, they wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. But what they're also learning is that people do want companies that take strong stances.
People like it when companies seem socially aware. Being woke, some might say. I wouldn't say it, but that's mostly because it doesn't sound right coming out of a white Australian's mouth. Woke, on fleek, yes, queen. Turned up. I shouldn't be allowed to say any of those things. But actually, I do like saying turned up. Turned up. I'm going to try to use it in sentences from time to time this week. Turned up. And it's not just Nike. This year's Super Bowl ads were a parade of pretend wokeness, including the one where a Martin Luther King speech was used to sell cars.
You don't have to know the second theory of thermodynamics in physics, sir.
You only need a heart full of grace.
Soul generated by love.
What was that? That ad is pretty insensitive, especially when you consider that trucks are the second most racist kind of car. The list goes Dodge Chargers, trucks, and Herbie the Love Bug. Sure, it sounded like Herbie was talking to us with his horn, but that was the censors bleeping all the N-words. No, Herbie, no! No, if you don't like it, you move to a different neighbourhood. Look, if Colin Kaepernick sells shoes, that's not Nike taking a moral stand. It's just good marketing. And to the people burning their shoes in outrage, you're not mad at Nike for hiring Kaepernick. You're mad because you live in a world where Colin Kaepernick is popular and respected. Destroying shoes you already purchased doesn't affect Nike sales one bit. If you really want to get him where it hurts, then you have to hit him at the source. Like, I don't know, you've burned down a Nike factory, or you should... burn down an Indonesian child who makes the sneakers, or just a regular Indonesian child, or burn down the cows that the material comes, or burn down the grass that the cows eat. Burn it! Burn it all! Just do it! Burn it! Sorry. Let's not burn anything. I got a bit turned up there.
Well, he just sounds like your general drunk Aussie, but he makes some good points there about the whole Nike's marketing thing. And Nike are the masters of that.
Yeah.
They took some delight out of that whole I'm the bullet in the chamber with Oscar as well, because they've got to be on the edge. That's what Nike's about. They've got to be on the edge because kids want to rebel against their parents. They want to seem cool. They want to seem edgy. They don't want to wear a brand that's going to be like a conformist thing. So Colin Kaepernick, some people say he's just like Jim Carrey. You hear him going on about, oh, Colin Kaepernick. Oh, what a legend. He's just another marketing tool.
That's it.
That's all he is.
The line that I loved most from that was, and I'm paraphrasing here, but companies aren't guided by moral values. They're guided by shareholders who now want to see, like, what's trendy, what's everyone talking about, how can we jump onto that, how can we make money? That's the bottom line.
Exactly. How can we get a piece of the moral high ground that people are subscribing to right now?
Yeah, so when you're frustrated and you're burning your sneakers, well, you've already bought the sneakers and Nike already has your money, so it really doesn't change anything for them.
Now, in a pair of Nikes from Cape Town is Gareth Cliff.
Yeah.
Gareth's burning his Nikes.
Oh, is that what he's busy doing?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't have him. I just don't have him. It's just not there. Yeah, so today is Friday. I've had a good week. It's been an interesting one here with us as well. And, well, very much going into the summer now. We've got heat waves in Joburg. We've got people who are doing long weekend stuff because Monday is Heritage Day. So.
Hello.
Hi, Gareth.
Oh, sorry. Hi, Ben.
Hey.
I thought they were calling me from the production booth, but there we go. Well done.
Well, yeah, you're with us. Yeah, so just saying, it's a long weekend, so obviously Heritage Day, so that means a lot, whole bunch of things to a whole bunch of people. So whether that means that you just braai, because some people call it Braai Day, some people call it Heritage Day when they actually care about their own heritage, whatever it is, you get a long weekend in the sun, so there's basically no better time to be a South African, really.
Fantastic. I have to tell you, Cape Town is not so sunny. I arrived here yesterday and got off the plane, and there was a bit of snow on the mountains as we flew in.
Oh.
So it's a little nippy, yeah. It's not exactly a sunny or a springy day here. They've got a little catching up to do. Joburg's way warmer.
Well, we premiere spring here, and then they get it like a month later. It's kind of like how the movies into film circuit down here.
Yeah, it's beautiful. At least they've had some rain over the last couple of weeks, which makes the place a lot prettier. Last time I was here, it was dreadfully brown and dull and looked horrible.
Ugh, yeah, that's not nice. So, Gareth, you're speaking at a thing today.
Yesterday I spoke at an event Amasa held,
media Masa?
Marketing event.
You spent one day in Cape Town, you're saying you're Amasa, what?
Yes.
No, it's called Amasa, which A-M-A-S-A, marketing and media and advertising event. And that was yesterday afternoon. And today we're meeting a whole lot of our clients that are in Cape Town. You know, we've got a lot of people whose head offices are in Cape Town.
I always wonder about that. Is that just because they're particularly smart and they've worked hard in other cities that are less glamorous that they have a headquarters in Cape Town?
I think so. I think what happens eventually is you earn the right to have your HQ in Cape Town. And then, you know, people, they have this amazing quality of life down here, and they sort of run their business. I mean, I went for dinner last night with my aunt who lives down here. She's an architect, and she's got a house, and then across the road, she's got her office. So she has a really long trip to the office. It's all of 10 steps.
I'm so envious of that.
Yeah,
she's
living her best life.
Definitely, but then she's been in practice for many years. She's kind of earned the right to do this. And what you find down here is that there are a lot of people who make their work fit into their lives, not the other way around. In Joburg, you're likely to meet people who make their life fit into their work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I guess it's a generational thing, like where you are in your life, where it is, where you've got to appease clients, you've got to chase everything. Whereas in Cape Town, if you get there, and that's why I find living there is so difficult, because you actually have to be really wealthy. Here, you can get by because there's people like you. A lot of people like you here. Cape Town, you've got to be rich.
Yeah. Also, I suppose that's a very good point. But people prioritize their lives here. In Joburg, they prioritize their work, because in Joburg, really, it's about energy. It's about productivity. It's about getting things done. Here, it's about the view and the food and the lifestyle and where you're going over the weekend, and in some ways
the best
they've
cup of coffee
that.
Is
no, Gareth, but that's great, but I could also do that tomorrow if I had 10 million rand in the bank and like 50 million assets. I would also prioritize the view.
I
wouldn't have to go and chase things. If I didn't like a client, I'd tell them to piss off. Whereas in Joburg, if you don't like a client, you got to just make a way of liking them.
Good point. All right, so what is everybody doing for the long weekend?
Not much. I'm absolutely shattered. I've been working very hard of late, so I'm literally going to have a couple of beers and go to bed later, and then I'm playing golf, and then I've got a little bit of work to do. I've got like a big October, so that's one.
Okay.
So I'm shaping into. So my Heritage Day is going to be about the heritage of trying to get ahead in life.
Okay. Well, is that the story of your people?
Yes, that's the story of my people, Gareth. That is it. That is what brought them to this far off land, and is what basically made us progress from eating cabbage to actually eating nicer food.
Oh,
that's the sad story of Ben's long suffering people.
What a beautiful heritage!
My heritage is that we can actually have braai meat rather than just braai cabbage.
You don't want to go back to those
times. I'm not
times.
Laughing at your family's expense. That's just hilarious. And it's the story of all Polish people.
Oh, the Karpinskis have suffered.
Of course, we weren't sure you're run-of-the-mill people, though. We were more of your, I'll take my cabbage medium to well, thank you.
You had some class. Look at you.
That's great. They were picky about their cabbage, those Karpinskis. Sia, what are you doing?
I'm really taking it very, very chilled this weekend because I feel like this week I haven't done well in terms of working well and keeping up with my work. So I'm really looking forward to just staying indoors for a while and just catching up on some work. I'll take advantage of really relaxing when it comes to, like, you know, Sunday and Monday. So, yeah, just yeah. Your average chilled weekend for me.
All right. Nolo?
Nolo?
Nolo isn't in yet.
Nolo?
No.
Oh, I Nolo. See. Is that why you guys called me? Because I was calling the Skype line from, like, just after 6 and there was no answer. So now I understand. But I'm sure Nolo is still dressing because she was very excited about Heritage Day.
Well, she's been excited this entire week, really.
Yeah. No, she has. She's been dressing to the nines.
How old is Nolo? While she's not here, I just think she's like really young, isn't she?
24?
I would say around 24, 25 maybe.
It just dawned on me yesterday that she's actually really, really young.
She's done a lot, though. Experienced a lot for someone that old.
But that's exactly my point. Obviously, after she was talking about her latest foam episode, which I'm still trying to come to terms with, I just thought, like, wow, this chick has lived. And she's like,
yeah, I've got to say, like, if you want to hear the whole story that Ben's talking about, go and listen to part 2 yesterday. Oh my God, I played this clip from a show where they talk about people with their strange addictions, and this woman in the show had exactly the same addiction as Nolo, and then Nolo started going into like how she likes the flavors of certain kinds of foam and the reasons that she used to eat this, and if that doesn't freak you out, I don't know what will. It got everybody a little bit, what's the word here? Shook.
Yeah. Shooketh.
Yeah, shooketh.
But
very, very good.
It really got me thinking, as we were discussing it yesterday, that, and even the fact that there's a whole TV show dedicated to things like these, that everybody has their own thing.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, people have addictions. You also get people with very addictive personalities that have more than one addiction. And you get people who have no addictions at all. I mean, there are those people, you know. Never forget, for every person who's like a complete gambler, a gambler-holic, and they smoke and they drink and they have sex addiction, there's someone who has no addictions at all.
Nothing.
Because I wouldn't even necessarily call it an addiction, really. Everyone has their own vice. Everyone has something.
Well, no, I think addiction is a very serious thing. Like, yeah. They've started to discover that there are certain personalities and even chemical predispositions to addiction that other people don't have. And if you have an addictive personality or an addictive psychology, what happens is if we manage to kill the addiction to, let's say, alcohol, it manifests itself in something else. So you'll find those people then get addicted to gambling. Or if it isn't gambling, then they get addicted to religion. Or if it isn't religion, they get addicted to having children. I mean, they're all kinds. And that is a real thing. Like, there are actually people who get addicted to the feeling of women who are addicted to the feeling of being pregnant.
Sure. Gives them such an amazing purpose that they wouldn't have had it elsewhere.
Right. And they feel needed. They feel useful, they feel like they're undergoing a major thing and it has consequence. So for some people, the addiction manifests in very strange ways, but it's hard to wipe out the addictive personality. You actually can't do it.
Yeah, well, it all comes down to willpower. As humans have none of that. Discipline is a rare thing, Gareth. This week we also saw, we haven't really spoken about this mostly because I know I couldn't give a toss, but it's not just about me. Machine Gun Kelly and Eminem are having this big fight. I reckon this Machine Gun Kelly is a love child of Eminem, though. Have you seen this crap?
Well, it's all getting very personal, isn't it? I mean, it's called Killshot, and like, if you listen to the lyrics, no one should be that invested in someone else's failure, such hatred against someone else. I just think, you know, we all tend to think that the stuff's real, but maybe a lot of it is just marketing.
Well, it is. I mean, I genuinely believe it is marketing, but also, do you not think that maybe this was Eminem's unwanted child from back in the day? Because like before he became famous, a lot of these guys knock up women in like really dreadful bars.
People forget how old Eminem is. I think he's old. You know, he's Yeah, he's in his late 40s already, or perhaps even early 50s.
Yeah.
And so it's quite possible that Machine Gun Kelly, who's half that age, is his kid. And that now the two of them have, you know, they've met on the battlefield, and the servant is about to become the master, and he's about to have a reckoning with his dad. I mean, it's a real kind of heroic narrative. The ancient Greeks used to write about this stuff.
It's just a little bit too convenient, because Eminem is obviously new album. This guy, of course, needs obviously like the next step up in his career, and it all culminates in this diss track stuff.
Look, they have 17 years between them, so you might be onto something.
Look, in Eminem's, we talked about heritage earlier. I mean, Eminem's heritage, you probably got two kids by 17.
Eminem's probably a grandfather at 17.
Exactly. But, you know, obviously when it comes to disses and all that kind of stuff, Kanye's never too far away from it. So Snoop Dogg actually had spoke out about Kanye, obviously, and obviously the whole... Because you remember Snoop had that song around the president and, like, killing the clown's Donald Trump.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And then Donald obviously went straight to Twitter and said, can you imagine what the outcry would be if Snoop Dogg, failing career and all, had aimed and fired the gun at President Obama? Jail time.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
You got to love how Donald can't mention someone without basically saying they're a loser.
Yeah, there has to be one
that is his template. So this is the whole thing around Snoop.
In play when it comes to Donald Trump. During a recent interview with DJ Suss on Sirius XM, the D-O-double-G momentarily lost his cool when the subject of politics came up.
I think it's safe to say most people in our culture do not
You need to know that a lot of your fans is racist. Ain't no fucking way around. Don't even try to put no
cut.
I don't give a fuck. I tell him straight up, motherfucker, if you like that nigga, you motherfucking racist. Fuck you and fuck him. Now what?
All
right. Draw the line, nigga. He drew the lines.
Exactly.
He drew the motherfucking lines. Before him, there were no lines. Everybody was everybody. We respected everything. We didn't trip. But nigga, when you drew the line, nigga, start pointing motherfuckers out and saying, nigga, fuck y'all then, nigga.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
You and them.
Snoop then quickly takes aim at Kanye West, who is an avid supporter of 45.
Kanye too, nigga. Don't forget about him too. Fuck you too.
Well, this is what I was going to say about that. I was going to bring up Kanye.
And you throw him in the bag, too, because he right with them motherfuckers.
Before the clip ends, Suss asked him about Snoop's appearance at a Donald Trump roast many years ago.
But I got to ask you a question, my brother. I watch a lot of roasts. I remember you were at the Donald Trump roast.
And I was roasting his ass. I wasn't being his buddy. Nah, I got paid, nigga.
So what do you guys think? Did y'all cancel Kanye, too? Or did y'all give him a pass?
I was roasting his ass. I love Snoop.
But, you know, Gareth, you made a point now about this whole Machine Gun Kelly and Eminem. Like, why are you so... Like, when does the hatred for someone stem so deep? Like, again, Donald Trump is not Hitler. All these other things we've seen, all this outrage is just... It seems like a freak show to me. But like, Snoop, like he seemed like he was about to cut someone. Like, there was fire in his eyes there.
I don't know. This is something that I take very seriously. I do not like to hate anybody. I will make fun of.
Yeah.
I will get angry about for all of like 5 minutes. I will hold a grudge for about a minute and a half. But if you let it take up more of your time than that, this is my philosophy, and I don't expect everyone to follow it, but it certainly works for me. If you let it take up more of your time than that, you are giving that person way too much attention.
Exactly.
You are spending way too much of your energy on somebody else and trying to... I mean, what a nasty thing to do to your own body.
Yeah.
To your own mind. To spend your time immersing yourself in hatred. Now, if you do that, I think it gives you cancer.
I think it makes you... And that's why some people have cancer. Old.
Yeah. Horrible way to live.
Okay, well, Nola's just arrived, and she's actually dressing me as I speak here.
She's
dressing. Okay, firstly, it'll take about half an hour to describe her outfit, but I'm getting something around my neck. There's something just gone around my head. But as a professional, as you can see, I'm carrying on with the show. Nola, okay, she's getting back to her microphone now.
Wow.
Nola, how many hours did it take you to get ready today?
Dude, I actually started getting ready at 4 this morning, believe it or not.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
She
describe Nola to me.
Yeah, she's done in this full-on Indian heritage dress. It's like very traditional Hindu woman's
like a full
outfit.
Sari.
Yeah. Sari, yeah. Blue and this mustardy yellow sari. Tons of accessories. Even has a massive nose ring. So we'll definitely do a mini photo shoot and put it up on social media as well.
Wow, and that's now, beautiful.
And now Ben has a...
Oh, I'm a picture. I mean, I'm...
Ben has African beaded accessories, so there's a necklace situation happening, and also Nolo got a little headdress situation for Ben as well. But I might
now. You know what? I love this. I love that. Nolo, do you have Indian ancestry or not?
No, I do not. But okay, I've always been very fascinated.
This is what I want to get to.
Culture.
I love that.
Yeah,
you've dressed in like I think it's a. This is a more of a Tamil, more of a Southern Indian look, because Sia just sent me a picture.
Ooh.
And it's really lovely, but you don't have to be from there to celebrate it.
Absolutely
you know,
not.
You're honoring it. There are people who will say, cultural purists and racists and people who are, you know, bigoted, they'll say, oh no, you can't do this because it's cultural appropriation. But yes. I think any culture that can be celebrated, you should be able to celebrate it with people who aren't even of that culture. I love this.
I agree. Thank you so much, Gareth.
Yeah, beautiful.
I'm all for it. But Nolly, you pull it off like this is your job, though.
Yeah.
I almost feel like you look
really Indian.
You really do.
I actually cheated it because my sari, well, it's not really a sari. It's a choli lenga. So it's a modern version of a sari.
Oh wow!
But
okay.
It hasn't been tailored, so I had to improvise and work around it.
Nailed it!
That's great.
I almost feel like you have like a 100 followers outside like in the car park who are having a light dance and small chant, waiting for you to return.
Yes,
and they're all going to go around a tree like in a Bollywood movie.
Oh my God, guys!
I'm ready to call you Lakshmi today.
Oh, I was hoping for Priyanka, but we can do Lakshmi.
Okay. We'll meet in the middle somewhere there.
Yeah. So you can take Nola's lead this weekend. It is the Heritage Weekend, so it is what you make of it. You know, people always say, always tell you what to do in life. Screw that. If it is just brying meat, go ahead. If it is wearing your favorite Nikes that you haven't burnt, and that's your heritage, you go ahead as well. There's so much to do. There is so much to do, and this is the weekend to do it. Of course, Monday, we're not going to be here Monday. Maybe you won't be at your job either, so therefore you can pusher it up extra hard as well. These are all very important characteristics
absolutely.
Of this weekend.
Quinton,
I did not smoke a blunt today. We're looking to do that next week.
Mm.
It's just that Gareth's not here, so we're not actually doing Experience Friday today because the full team is not in the studio, so we don't like to do things half-hearted. So to answer your question, no, I have not smoked it this morning. I'll give it a bash next week. So next week, Friday, good luck for that sport. Wow.
Yeah. Ben was saying to us yesterday, he just warned us that when he does smoke weed, and he has done once or twice in his life, it knocks him out. He becomes like a bit retarded. He can't speak properly.
Just really, really not for me.
He's not the only one, Jim.
Yeah.
All I do is smile, really. I don't have much to say.
Well, great. We're going to have a very constructive show next week.
Yeah, well, it may not be worth your while. But.
Yeah, perhaps
you know what? I might actually do Friday's sport now or on Thursday.
Just so that your duties are discharged, you can actually just be a vegetable.
Yeah, look, or next Friday's sport could possibly be by the Elephant Man. It's also
that would be hilarious. Yeah. Okay.
All right, we must get into the five things you need to know. We've got some listener emails that we have kind of sort of just skipped by this week. If we get a gap a little bit later, we might do them. But yeah, we've got George Meany obviously popping in later from Auto Central.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's the power pod for the Friday where he recaps what's happening in the world of motoring. And as always, George has some very interesting things to say. I mean, he'll shock you with information about catalytic converters or what he feels mm-hmm. about Team Ferrari in F1. Or what new electric fad is coming into cars or flying cars, blah, 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 blah. George does all the research. He has a team of experts who are obviously giving insights to him. So don't miss that. That'll be about 7:45 if you are listening live. Otherwise, see you right now. The five things.
What are the five things?
Sure. Well, let's kick it off with news. Let's just get politics out of the way for the show and then we can go on and have a happy Friday. Well, AJ Gupta says that he has evidence that he didn't attend a meeting with ABC Jonas. Well, let's go. This is Mxibisi Jonas, the former the deputy finance minister, and he says that almost 3 years ago, he did not attend a meeting with Jonas, which basically contradicts the version that the former minister gave. So this is an affidavit that was filed yesterday. AJ says and accuses Jonas of lying about him during his testimony at the State Capture Commission. Now, last month, Jonas testified that he was offered tons of money by the Guptas so that he could be the next finance minister. And when he turned them down, he said that AJ Gupta threatened to kill him. We remember that drama, right? Well, now Gupta claims that Jonas is lying and may be working with a group of people who are trying to implicate him in wrongdoing. He further goes on to say that his cell phone records are his alibi. And he says that he was at his Oak Bay offices in Sandton and not in Saxon World, where Jonas says that that was where they met. And Gupta says that he was seen at the office by several staff members. So this whole he said, she said thing continues on. But once again,
you know, are these guys going to deny everything? Are they just going to say, no, none of it's true? The whole state capture thing, it's all a vast conspiracy.
Yes.
I mean, how much of a low estimation do they have of us? It seems they really do believe, if they just deny it, we're dumb enough to perhaps give a little bit of credence to their version. It's insane. These guys are the most bald-faced liars that have ever lived.
Yeah, well, that's why they get along so well with Jacob, because they're all in this together. You probably find the Guptas like, hey, guys, like, we've really stolen just so much now. And then Jacob's like, no, just lie.
Yeah, maybe he's their advisor.
He's their special counsel, morality coach.
He's probably the admin in their WhatsApp group.
No, too much responsibility.
I've told you, don't worry about this thing. The truth.
Well, I think your idea there does have some legs, because the second story you need to know this morning is actually the fact that our former president has been accused of deploying delaying tactics to avoid implementing the Public Protector's State of Capture remedial action. This was among the submissions from parties who were opposing Zuma's application for leave to appeal the personal costs order made against him. Now, Zuma is unsuccessfully challenging the remedial action and has been ordered, this was yesterday, to personally pay the costs because he was reckless. Zuma argues that he acted legitimately by approaching the courts to decide on issues which concerned him about the state capture remedial action, but the council for the UDM and Dalimpofu as well hit back, saying that no one is asking for Zuma to be punished for exercising his right. He says the question of whether the former president was acting in good faith is a problem. Mpofu actually accuses Zuma of deploying nefarious delaying tactics disguised as disputes, which the courts needed to address. So for now, this was late afternoon yesterday, the judgment has been reserved. So, yeah.
Sure.
This is another one we'll just have to follow up on.
Yeah, I'm over this. I just want to see him go to jail now.
Yeah, me too.
Had enough.
That's it.
Had enough.
Into some news, unfortunate news from Tanzania. At least 44 people have died and scores were feared missing after a ferry capsized in Victoria, which is, of course, Africa's largest lake, with a desperate search for survivors set to resume this morning. There were more than 100 passengers on board the vessel when it sank yesterday afternoon near Ukara Island in the southeast of the vast lake, which also extends into Uganda and Kenya as well. The head of the district council, George Nyamaha, says it is feared that a significant number have lost their lives. And the regional governor, John Mongela, said late yesterday the toll has reached 44, while 37 others had been rescued, though some of the survivors were in a very bad condition. He added that rescue operations had been suspended for the day and would continue this morning.
I've got a story for you. Finance Minister Hlanhla Nene has revealed that more than half of the country's municipal managers and chief financial officers do not have the minimum competency levels to do their jobs.
Let's just let that sink in for a moment.
More than half
of
the people in charge of running the municipalities around South Africa, which, remember, we discussed this some time ago, Only 7% of our municipalities are solvent. 7%. Now we know why. Now we know why.
But isn't it?
We have people who are not even meeting minimum. Forget about being the best people to do the job. Mm. Minimum competency levels.
But like, this is always how it works with the ANCs. They make these announcements and then they don't do anything. It's like, well, we've just discovered that this is a reality. So therefore, we are going to make this an action. That second part never really happens.
No. And also, no one's ever held to account. So they never like have a meeting and go, okay, guys, we've screwed up badly here. So this person's getting fired, or this person is going to be investigated because we've discovered that they appointed X, Y, and Z. It just all kind of gets into this collective responsibility jar and then gets forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
That's no, it's a lot to take in. And then the last thing that you need to know this morning. Well, it seems like this Parktown Boys trend is spreading because a Georgia substitute teacher, this is in the US, is facing charges for allegedly sending nude photos of herself to several 14-year-old boys.
Whoa.
Her name is Amanda Pardue, who worked for the Dade County Schools, was arrested yesterday on charges of electronically furnishing obscene material to minors, electronic pornography, and child exploitation. Trenton police have asked authorities to launch an investigation into misconduct allegations which involve the 35-year-old teachers. Officials later issued an arrest warrant for Pardue after discovering she allegedly sent inappropriate messages to multiple boys. Pardue herself has surrendered to law enforcement yesterday at Dade County Jail, and the officials said that the district has now officially fired Pardue in light of the allegations.
No teachers ever send me nudes.
Well, I'm not trying to as well make light of the situation, but I'm sure these 14-year-old boys were like, "Whoa, score!"
Yeah, exactly. They're probably, it was the best day of any of their lives. What are you talking about?
Yeah, kids have very different problems nowadays. Yeah.
And those are the five things that you need to know this morning.
Well, there it is, guys.
All right.
Is there anything else you want to add to that?
Hell no.
That's very vehement. Hell no.
No, I mean, if you finish on like the teachers sending me nudes as your story, I can't top that.
Well, cryptocurrency is cryptocurrencying. The euro is 1686. The pont is 1899. That's come down a bit, huh? It was looking like we were going to hit 20 the other day.
And yeah, thank goodness.
The US dollar is 1430. And thankfully, the Aussie dollar's come down. I hate when those smug gits get too much. 10.43.
Okay, good.
10 Rand 43 will get you one Aussie dollar. Right, let's get into some sport. There is a lot of it, but I'll try to be brief because it's the weekend. It's a long weekend. Unfortunately, there's no rugby in the long weekend, however. But there will be some Currie Cup action. I know normally we wouldn't care about that, but there's something to worry, well, consider, and it's who's going to play 15 for the Springboks in the next two tests, because Willie Leroux will not be available because he, along with a few other players, are going back to play their club rugby. There's also going to be injuries, so Damien Donnelly, Kanya Am, he's out. Francois Lowe won't be available either. So who do you play at 15? Well. I'm guessing that Damien Willemse, this could be his big chance. This is something that's been kind of thrown around in the press. Like, this guy, of course, is the future of SA rugby, whether he's going to play 10 or 15, I reckon. He's an incredible talent. So he'll actually be playing for Western Province this weekend against Griquas. And number 15 jersey could be his thing. He's got a good boot. He's an incredible flair player. And I think he's got the right head for it too. I think fly half, we've got Andre Pollard. We've got Elton Junchies. Those two in the after the All Black match, they're going to be either rotating or there's going to be a 10-12 combination with those two going forward. 15 though, Willie Leroux, well, he's either shit or champagne, as they say in the classics.
Oh.
So we maybe shouldn't even have him there. This is one of these things. Test rugby is very difficult. Cheslin Colby, of course, he could also fit there if needed. He has played there for Western Province before, so the fact that he's playing wing at the moment with Makazulu Mpimpi still injured. Jesse Creel probably still play on the wing, so I don't know. I think Damien Willemse, so this could be a good call. It's a bold call, But against the Aussies and the All Blacks, if you can make it against those two teams in the next coming weeks, then this guy could be it. He really could be the next Bok 15, which would be something that's really, really exciting. So yeah, the Rugby Championship will pick up next week. Of course, New Zealand are still way ahead in the standings there. They just need to basically win against Argentina, I guess. And look, they've won the Rugby Championship. That's not the important thing here. The important thing is what the Bok team can do to tune up and basically beat them again in Pretoria. Now that is in a couple of weeks' time, and if you haven't got tickets and you are in the area and you are a rugby fan, I know if you're a Bulls fan, going to Loftus nowadays is like going back to an ex's house. The fire's gone.
Ooh,
like, there isn't really any love anymore. That you had the good old days when you're younger, but try get back there. Because this Bok team, I think after that performance in New Zealand, they definitely need all the support that we can give them. And there's nothing better for these guys, because I remember in an interview I had last year with Ibn Elizabeth, he said, you know, there's nothing worse than waking up on a Monday or Tuesday and you got to go to the gym, your body hurts, everything aches, you're contemplating your career. It's hard work. It's like just pushing rocks uphill. But the moment they run into that field, it's all worth it. That shock of adrenaline as they hear that crowd and the sun hits their face. So if you ever feel that you can lift a team, it is through supporting them live. So try to get out there. And I know it's quite expensive to go watch Bok rugby nowadays, but it'll be worth it.
Well, it's a good week to go. At least there was a win last weekend, you know?
Exactly. So we still got that. And I reckon we're going to smash the Aussies as well. That game will be taking place in PE. Now, PE, I know you don't know who your mayor is, and there's obviously even less money there, but if you can scrape together the cash and go watch in PE, it's a lovely stadium. It really is. It's a world-class facility. So that's what I say. So this Heritage Weekend, contemplate how you can give back to the Bok, because they gave us something really, really special last week. Into local football, well, we can talk about the actual matches, I guess.
I guess.
Well, it's not the most exciting thing happening right now, is it? It really isn't. I'll tell you what is exciting, though, is that the fact that the PSL and SAFA just don't seem to be able to talk to each other or know what's going on with each other. So SAFA signed a big deal with OutSurance to basically have the refs. You know, like in rugby, there'll be a ref all in OutSurance clad, like a pointsman.
All the colours
and that kind of stuff. And obviously the rugby campaign they've got going is the referees refereeing people in real-life situations, which is a great concept. So they are now part of the PSL. So the referee is an OutSurance referee. So the PSL are like, whoa, 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 what the hell happened here? SAFA basically railroaded this deal through, 50 million rand over 5 years. Now, you know it's a dodgy deal when Irvin Corso is the guy who looks like he's coming out here on the moral high ground. So they had a press conference yesterday basically saying they're consulting legal action because this is a violation of EPSA and Netbank, you know, the people who have put big money into local football. Suddenly, OutSurance gets this 50 million rand sponsorship opportunity, and Evan Causer and the PSL guys, they are not happy with this. So there is going to be a very interesting Heritage Weekend for those two warring factions. Because, like, it's so embarrassing. Like, we are trying so hard to be seen as something that can be taken seriously in world football. We've had, obviously, we've had massive dramas. After 2010, we haven't done a lot of good stuff, let's be honest about that. And, you know, most recently, there was that whole thing about AS Cape Town. They were just relegated, then they fought back, and then there was this dodgy ruling, and then suddenly they didn't appeal the ruling. They're no longer in the... It was just a mess. It was an absolute mess. Now, this is not a really good deal. It's just not a good deal. And the sale of Bloom Celtics has fallen through due to a huge 43 million rand debt owing to SARS by the owner, Max Chavala. You can't make up the drama.
How much do they owe?
This guy, Gareth, he owes 43 million rand to SARS. So they're like, no, I don't think you're going to really be selling this the way you want to sell it.
Yeah, it's not going to go your way.
It really isn't. Into actual football on the field. Of course, there was a big week this week with Champions League. And I think last week there was the European Thursday League was played as well, but we're not getting to that. But yeah, this weekend we've got Fulham versus Watford. This will be Saturday, so first game to be kicking off there. Liverpool will be taking on Southampton. Now, Liverpool had a big win over the week. Now, someone sent me something over Twitter, I forget who it is now, but if you look at the replay of when Liverpool got the late winner against PSG, Mohamed Salah looked absolutely pissed off. He looked angry. He threw a bottle to the ground in disgust. I don't know if it's because he felt his performance of the night wasn't really good enough or that he was just jealous he didn't get the winning goal. So maybe there's some stuff in there with the players. And we'll obviously see this weekend because, you know, Liverpool have got a nice start off the league. Cardiff City will be hosting Man City. Man City lost against Olympique Lyonnais. huge shock for them because it happened at home as well. So if I was Cardiff City, I would literally be bracing for an absolute onslaught here. I think 5 or 6 goals for Man City this weekend. Leicester City will be taking on Huddersfield Town. Man United will be hosting the in-form Wolves. Crystal Palace versus Newcastle. Burnley, Bournemouth, Brighton versus Spurs. And Spurs, well, they've also had a bit of a shock over the last few weeks. Lost Liverpool recently, lost the Champions League to Inter Milan in a game they really should have won, so they've got a lot to prove there. And then on Sunday, you got West Ham versus Chelsea, Arsenal versus Everton. Those are your Premier League games for the weekend. There isn't a whole bunch of other sport to really get into this weekend. Of course, there is no rugby. There's nothing really happening in the cricket world right now. There's the Asia Cup, as I spoke about yesterday, but that's Afghanistan, India, blah, blah, blah. But a big weekend of golf, of course, because next week is the Ryder Cup. Now, the Ryder Cup is the greatest thing. And, well, 11...
Fact. It is the greatest
thing. It is, yeah. When people talk about the greatest things, they always start conversations with the Ryder Cup. Uh-huh. Uncanny. Throughout the ages, that's how it's gone. So this weekend, the Tour Championship in itself is just so huge. And it's a bit of a shame that it's so close to the Ryder Cup, because this event in itself... Well, think about it. The top 30 golfers on the USPGA Tour are playing for ultimate glory. It's just, like, in many ways, it's a major in itself. Ricky Fowler and Tiger Woods have got off to a flying start. They are 5 under. So they're tied first at East Lake in Atlanta, Georgia. Gary Woodland, Justin Rose, just 1 shot back. Of course, Justin Rose, he could win this outright. Bryson DeChambeau went into this tournament as the leader of the FedEx Cup, but he shot a 1-over-par 71 yesterday, so he's tied 21st. A whole bunch of guys can still win this whole thing. They can win the FedEx Cup with that the $10 million bonus. But more importantly, what is the form going to be like? This is a really big event going into the Ryder Cup. 11 of the 12 guys who are in the American team are playing in this field. Just Jordan Spieth missing out. So you can watch that the whole weekend. Very exciting. And then there's also the Portugal, I think it's Portugal Masters. That's taking place in Portugal, believe it or not, Sia. And Lucas Herbert, he's leading. He shot an 8-under at the Dom Pedro Victoria Golf Course in Vilamor, Portugal. And then a whole bunch of other guys following him. Matt Wallace, who was unlucky to miss out on the Ryder Cup selection, he is 1 back, along with Shane Lowry and Eddie Pepperell. Hao Tong Lee is playing. Sergio Garcia is playing. Thunder Bear Ollison's playing. George Garcia currently at 4 under is the top place South African. So lots and lots of really nice golf. And then finally, there's obviously big talk of Ryder Cup being such a big team event. The Laver Cup is also going to be happening. It's coming up. Now, the Laver Cup is essentially the Ryder Cup of tennis. So you've got Team America, versus Team Europe. So who do you reckon is going to win that one, Sia?
Team Europe.
You would think. Because you got Nadal,
Team America.
Team World. Sorry.
That one.
So Ryder Cup of fuck at the moment. It's Team World. So you got Federer, you got Djokovic, you got Kyrgios. You just so many players.
Kyrgios.
And Kevin Anderson, of course, he'll be amongst there because he is he's American. Yeah, I don't know. That sounds weird.
Yeah, Kevin Anderson is. Yeah, I suppose he's now American, but we claim him, don't we?
Well, we claim anybody that comes
through the good times.
I mean, we're still claiming Federer's mother. So you've also got that the Laver Cup coming up. So if you like tennis, the cool thing is, so it's over 3 days. Pretty much they copied the Ryder Cup. So you get singles matches, you get doubles matches. The Europeans will definitely feel that they're stronger in the singles the world feel they're stronger in the singles. And then they will Rod Laver out at the end, who basically says, I would have beaten your cunts if I was playing in your day. He's a very foul mouth Australian. So that's probably.
Oh, really?
It's the kind of thing that he would whisper to Federer. And then Federer's like, I can literally buy you with last year's earnings. And then he keeps quiet and goes home. So that is your sport for this
week. What did Rod Laver say?
I would have beaten your cunts if I was playing in your day. Yeah. It's a very sort of minor Australian accent. That is your sport for the week. It's been a good sporting week, but the best is yet to come. I'll be back with the sport on Tuesday because there will be no sport on Monday. See ya.
All right, yes. There will be no show on the Monday.
Nothing.
On the Monday.
Yeah.
No.
With peace and love. Peace and love.
Guys, I'm going to leave you. I have to go and get ready for a range of meetings today and otherwise some time in Cape Town. If you're in Cape Town, I'll see you. Otherwise, we'll catch up on Tuesday morning.
Awesome.
Do you want to see us happy news for the day, Gareth?
I will. I'll listen.
But you don't need me for it. I'll just listen on my app. I've got it ready to go.
Well, what if it pertains to you as a person?
Ben.
See, he doesn't need me. He doesn't care about whether or not I'm there to do said by Sia. I spoke to someone yesterday who said, you know what? You could bring Sia. Apparently, Sia, September is the worst month for suicides. Did you know that?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's the Northern Hemisphere thing, though.
They listened to the show and they said, all we need is Sia. More Sia in September.
See, now we're good. Yeah. And that singing also saved everyone. I know. It's one of those things. Gareth, have a great weekend. We'll chat to you.
Cheers,
later.
Guys.
Bye, Gareth.
See you, man. Tuesday. Bye.
Awesome. So wait for this just to have a massive moment in your day, because Wesley Ryan, a husband and father from the US, actually sold his beloved car 12 years ago when his wife was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. But now his kids have tracked the car down and they've surprised him with it again. Aww. And everybody said, aww.
Oh, that's nice.
Wesley Ryan, 12 years ago, really received the shock of his life when his wife, who, by the way, makes it even sweeter, is his high school sweetheart, disclosed that she had been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And he knew that there would be medical bills to pay. And so he sold his then beloved 1993 Ford Mustang. Fast forward to 12 years later, his wife is now cancer-free and his kids are all grown up and life has seemingly carried on. But his family knows just how much he loved the car. Everyone actually in the community knows that Wesley always referred to his car as Christine, and they had this relationship going. So to repay their father for all that he's sacrificed, his kids started hunting the car down. They eventually found it.
Cool.
They had to beg with the owner and eventually bargain. They came to a reasonable price and they've bought the car back and they towed it back home. And they got their mother involved. They broke the news to their mother and they planned this whole afternoon where they parked the car in this parking lot and the kids blindfolded Wesley and led him to this parking lot where they revealed this to their father. And just to see pictures and videos of this, of how the father tears up, is just amazing to watch, because I think it's really not about the materialistic thing of it. Yes, it's great to have a car back, but it's, you know, from so many years ago. But I think it's just the moment and what the car means and what the kids and the wife are saying he means to them, that means more. So I really think this is just so sweet. I think it was so cute to see it. So yeah, that's just it by Sia from this morning. Wesley Ryan getting his beloved car 12 years later just because of how much his wife and his kids have sacrificed. I think that's so sweet.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
There's something else you really want to hunt down. It's like, well, he had this jersey once. I'm going to go back to all the charity stores and try to find it. Like, that's nice. That's really nice, because you kind of have such amazing memories and experience with cars.
And it's all still, by the way, in good working condition. So, yeah, he can still be chilling and driving around with his dear Christine.
It's very nice. Speaking of cars, George Meany will be with us around 7:45 if you are listening live in the podcast. Just go on to podcast number 2 for the day and you'll get George Meany later on. He'll be talking about, well, all things cars.
Mm.
But for the rest of the day, you've got me and you've got Sia. Gareth will be in Cape Town for the rest of the weekend, but back on Tuesday like the rest of us. But yeah, if you want to get involved in the show and you want to message us, just like Lasiba said, like did just now, he said, morning guys, listening live from Pretoria, on my way to Mozambique.
Ooh.
That's your heritage, traveling. Look at that. We've all got it. Nice one.
That's a great long weekend plan, actually.
Yeah, but you can also message, and I'll also read your message. Maybe I'll read it well, or I'll completely mess it up. Who knows?
Perhaps.
That's the whole thing about life. It's unexpected. 0797482090. Listening live, you can get in touch with us on that one. If you're listening from various other countries, then, I don't know, do some sort of code thing at the start of that. Otherwise, 0861 555 189.
That's it.
We complete each other's sentences already. So yeah. Chemistry in the studio. This listener email. Let's get to that quickly. Hi there, everyone. Listened to yesterday's podcast and heard the German guy saying that Ben's hairline is receding. Sure, has been for quite a while. This wasn't exactly a revelation to any of us. Do you know that there are pills for baldness? I bet there is. This is from, this is anonymous. No one actually put a name to this. It pisses me off that most men do not even know about this option. It doesn't bring the hair back, but it stops the hair from falling out. So as soon as you start seeing your hair getting a bit thin, you should start drinking this stuff. I have two friends that's been using it for a few years now. Apparently it does have a few side effects listed, but you know, these side effect lists are usually very exaggerated. Oh, that's reassuring.
Or you just don't want to deal with them.
Yeah. Anyhow, I just thought it'd be good for you if you could spread the message. Save a few lives and egos. The meds are called Propecia, or the generic, I presume, Finpecia. Okay. Or your name is Finpecia. Be quite an interesting name, that. Look, the whole thing with seeing as I've been singled out here, I used like a caffeine thing. I know Quentin from Namibia is like, oh, that's bullshit. Just go bald. But I've managed to just maintain what I have. I'm never going to regrow my hair like Elon Musk, because he's really rich. That's what happens to rich people. Like Jacques Callas, Elon Musk, they just get new hair. Yeah. No, seriously, that's great. That's why you've got to make money in life, because you can just do things like that. But eating clean also helps. Just being fit and healthy, getting a good sweat on through exercise, all this kind of stuff is all healthy. And basically, if you give up on yourself, your body gives up on you. Just a quick one.
Your body gives up on you.
Last little listener email here, Sia. Hey, Gareth. That's Gareth. He's in Cape Town. I'm sitting at work as a fucking audit clerk, typing this with the belief that the judgment could change and improve a lot. And so, haven't we read this before?
I don't know.
See, we've had this.
Okay.
We're talking about the judgment of the Dhaka couple, the cannabis couple. Peter Pun, I'm not going to read the rest of this email, because it's a joyous day and you're probably high already, seeing as that judgment has been ruled and you can now smoke marijuana in your own house. That's another thing to look forward to with Heritage on weekend. You can now smoke. You can smoke the boom in your own house.
The boom.
How cool is that? It's all happening, huh? I tell you what, this country is turning around. Slowly. Anyway,
after years and years and years.
It is Friday, and that also means that we are going to play a special song. And today's special song, sounding in 80s talk, goes out to Nolo from Johannesburg. She gets Soundgarden's Black Hole Sun.
Yay! Man, yay. My hero!
Okay, settle
down. Okay, Lakshmi. Okay.
CliffCentral.com.